Newstep, creator of the world's first recumbent cross trainer, offers years of experience and expertise in designing and refining its invention. Newstep has created a premier best-in-class recumbent cross trainer that is built to last and allows independent, safe, and functional exercise that may lead to improved outcomes. Visit www.newstep.com. That's www.newstep.com.
Defining moment spotlights a particular moment, incident, or case that either led the writer to a career in physical therapy or confirmed why he or she became a physical therapist or physical therapist assistant. This is the account in her own words and voice of Robin Gisbert, PT, DPT. She is an assistant professor in the physical therapy program at the University of Colorado and teaches at a free student-run health clinic.
The title of my essay is A Dance to Remember. My siblings and I grew up in a world rich in make-believe. Both of my parents were musicians and passionate music educators. They employed special little songs to coax us into bed or in the bathtub. Their dinner song beckoned us to the kitchen table where the entire family sang grace in multiple harmonies, seldom the same way twice. Our basement doubled as a playroom for us and the music room where my parents taught private lessons. Creativity was our bread and we were well fed. My parents passionately believed that arts education develops abilities in reading, writing, and arithmetic. And indeed, I loved school. Throughout my youth, I struggled to choose between making a career in music and dance or in medicine. I wanted to do both. My guidance counselor advised, "You can do anything, but you can't do everything." I gave it a try anyway, working overtime for 10 semesters. I graduated with a degree in biology, but I also managed to be an active member of the theater, dance, and vocal music departments throughout my undergraduate years. Uncertain of what exactly a triple threat biologist could do with all that, and more important, how I might get paid for my varied interests, I decided to become a physical therapist, because physical therapy is all about science of movement. But I quickly found the program to be so challenging that I felt as if someone had hit fast forward on my Sony Walkman. So I pushed the pause button on my arts pursuits. Soon after graduation, however, I resumed dance classes and booked occasional gigs as a pianist. I also began to weave music and dance into my sessions with patients at the long-term care facility at which I worked. I'd warble through a round of You Are My Sunshine, for example, with Laura, whose stroke had caused aphasia or speechlessness. I did piano duets in the cafeteria with Cliff, whose Parkinson's disease made his fingers slow and stiff. Blending physical therapy and the performing arts and using them to complement each other came to be my style, my professional trademark. In clinical practice, I've always extended traditional approaches to adult neurologic rehabilitation into the areas of music, creative movement, and dance. Over time, scientific evidence has confirmed what my patients have experienced all along. Rhythmic auditory stimulation improves gait, music improves memory, and dancing can improve balance. When I was working at the long-term care facility, I came to know a Southern gentleman named Bob. He'd arrived there 3 years earlier when his wife no longer could manage his confusion and his habit of wandering away from home. Like many residents of the secured memory wing, Bob had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. He'd become mostly nonverbal, but he was quick to smile when addressed. During our first encounters, I learned from his wife that Bob had been an art curator at a museum. She was a pretty woman, slender and well-dressed. I could picture the couple decades earlier attending the social and cultural events that punctuated their lives back then in Tennessee. Bob's light blue eyes lit up with deep expression when I sang to him. I started out with familiar tunes, universal memories like Happy Birthday and the Alphabet Song. But then, having hailed from the South myself, I thought perhaps Bob and I might connect through Tuxedo Junction, which was a hit record for the Andrews Sisters in the 1940s. The refrain goes, "Way down south in Birmingham, south in Alabama, there's a place where people go to dance the night away." Each day I'd greet Bob with that song and guide him into a standing position. We'd make our way to the exercise gym where I'd hold his hand, thin, sun-blotched, sometimes sticky with oatmeal. I'd put Tuxedo Junction on the CD player and dance a few steps for him, delighting in the music in a way I hoped would be infectious. May I have the stance, I'd ask? Bob and I would stand and sway left and right, forward and backward. After weeks of this, his posture had improved, and he could arise from the chair with ease. As we danced, I'd strike up conversation. Hello, Bob, I'd say. What's your name? I'm Bob, I coaxed him to haltingly reply. Hi, Bob, I'd respond with a big smile. Hi, Bob, he'd echo. He seemed somehow to recognize me from one visit to the next, even though each exchange seemed independent from the last in his memory. We grew familiar with each other. It got to the point that all I had to do was make eye contact with him and start singing Way Down South, and his eyes would brighten as he broke into a smile. That was our cue to travel together through time and space to that place where people went to dance the night away. Bob's wife often attended the sessions, watching and marveling at how interactive and animated he became during our time together. She told me how much the two of them had loved doing the foxtrot at social dances. Bob's wife was always interested and gracious, but she declined my repeated invitations to dance with us. She instead sat nearby in keen observation, her feet and low-heeled dress shoes tapping along to the music. One morning, Bob and I had just completed our chorus of hellos when suddenly Bob curled his lip like Elvis and asked me, his blue eyes smiling mischievously, "So, do you come here often?" I was stunned, but without missing a beat, I dropped my dancer's frame, looked directly in his eyes, and responded, "Every single day." Bob's wife cried. It was the first time in a very long time that she'd heard her beloved form and speak a full sentence. The power of music and dance had elicited those words, summoning from his mind's recesses a phrase that likely tripped fluently from his tongue in younger years. Seeing the depth of Bob's wife's emotion, I cried too. Then, perhaps mirroring our reactions or maybe in a flash of insight, Bob joined us. We were three people sobbing together in a gym. Then just as quickly and as if on cue, we started laughing. Was that joy? It was for Bob's wife and me, but I'm equally certain that it was a happy release for Bob, too. As I sat at my desk that evening, finishing my charting and coding, I felt overwhelmed with gratitude for my parents, my upbringing, all the opportunities I'd had to pursue my passions and a career in physical therapy that allowed me to blend music and medicine. I wasn't sure if that dance and Bob's question had mattered more to Bob, his wife, or me. Regardless, it's a moment I'll always remember. Like oatmeal, it will stick.
This has been an APTA podcast. APTA members can access the latest podcasts and transcripts at www.apta.org/podcasts.